Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's dive back into the NFL talk right now. Good to be joined on the show by a writer who covers the NFL for CBSSports.com. Season will be here before we know it. Getting ready to talk to Ryan Wilson of CBSSports.com, joining me right now at CBS Sports Radio. Ryan, how you doing tonight, man?
I'm hanging in there, Sean. How's it going?
I'm doing good. So I want to talk about Hall of Fame with you off the top here, and Terrell Owens claiming it, he's not going to attend the Hall of Fame induction. We'll see if it holds up or if people talk him into this whole thing. But what was your reaction when you heard that news?
T.O. being T.O., I wasn't surprised. In fact, so look, it took him 2 years to get in, 2015, 2016. He was overlooked. He was very angry about it. He shared some harsh words with Chris Carter, who has previously gotten in, another Hall of Fame wide receiver. And I wasn't surprised. What actually surprised me more was the reaction from some of the Hall of Fame voters who said if they had known that T.O. wasn't going to show up, they wouldn't have voted him into the Hall. And I have no idea why they would care one way or the other. It doesn't reflect poorly on them that they voted him in because he suddenly isn't going to be in Canton in August for the induction ceremony. I think it actually showed well on them that they decided to come together and get him in. He was deserving. Was he a headache as a teammate? Absolutely. Was he a pain for his coaches and the other officials around the league who weren't? Yes, absolutely. But he was also a Hall of Fame wide receiver, and it took him three tries to get in, and that's okay. If he had gotten in a year early, I'd be okay with that too. But I will not lose 1 second sleep with him not showing up. And I think if anything else, it saves us an hour and a half to 2 hours of him talking during the induction ceremony of us having to sit through it. So, if you look at it that way, it's a benefit.
Okay, so you would have set the over-under on his speech. It's significantly longer than everybody else who
was
there.
Oh, he would have set a record. I feel like it, absolutely.
That's pretty funny. You brought up that point of view of you said of the voters for the, or, you know, not all the voters, but one in particular, Gary Myers, is the one who I think went public with the point of view you're talking about. Like, hey, if I'd known he wasn't coming, I wouldn't have even voted for the guy. Is that a rational point of view for a voter to take, do you think?
No, I don't think so. And Gary Myers will admit, he will say that he had issues with T.O. Several years ago. In fact, he made the argument in 2015 or 2016, I believe, when T.O. didn't get in, that part of the reason was that he was disruptive off the field. And according to the voters, it's supposed to have nothing to do with anything except on the field production. So I don't think Meyer would he would cop to all that, I feel like. But it is weird that the power that the Hall of Fame voters wield, and somehow it seems like they get drunk on this power. And it's not entirely clear that they're following the letter of the law when it comes to enshrining these guys. And, you know, that's just part of the process, and that's one of the quirks of the NFL, of the Pro Football Hall of Fame voting system. And on some levels, that's fine. But on the other hand, in instances like this, it seems a little weird. It seems a little heavy-handed. And it just it seems like an odd sort of hill to die on that, well, since he decided he's not going to show up, suddenly I feel like, and I think one more voter said it maybe anonymously, they felt like that they shouldn't have voted for him. He's still a fantastic player. He's just not going to be in Canton for a weekend in August.
Yeah, at least right now he won't be. I know he's got Steve Young, among other teammates, kind of saying, hey, man, reconsider. We'll see what happens. There's a lot of time between now and the induction ceremony. Ryan Wilson, CBSSports.com, joining me on CBS Sports Radio. So, Ryan, of these veteran quarterbacks who changed teams last year, I feel like, yeah, we had those top four guys that were picked in the top 10 in the NFL draft. But I was as intrigued by sort of the musical chairs that went on with some of the bridge guys over the course of the offseason. You know, Case Keenum going to Denver, Sam Bradford going to Arizona, Kirk Cousins going to Minnesota was obviously the biggest dollar one. Even Tyrod Taylor getting traded to Cleveland. Of all those kind of bridge guys who were in these seemingly, you know, maybe shorter-term situations, which one is the one that intrigues you the most heading into the season and why?
One name you didn't mention is at the top of my list, I feel like it's Alex Smith.
Yes.
He was traded, so it wasn't really a free agent signing, but he still went from Kansas City to Washington, the Redskins clearly didn't want to keep Kirk Cousins around, and Kansas City was ready to go with Pat Mahomes. So I get all that, but I feel like Alex Smith might be a cheaper, he's 4 years older, but a cheaper, perhaps more consistent option than Kirk Cousins. And I actually like Kirk Cousins. He struggled a little bit last year, but so did the entire team. The year before, he was really good. But Alex Smith, after a rocky start to his career through no fault of his own, he had something like five offensive coordinators his first five seasons. He's coming to his own. And now at 33 or 34, I think he's quietly one of the best top 10, 12 quarterbacks. And he's, you know, for the longest time was known as sort of captain check down. And now he is one of the most consistent deep ball passers. So I think the Redskins have to sort some things out in terms of their wide receivers and having consistent options, keeping Jordan Reed healthy. But I feel like Alex Smith could be an uptick to that offense over what they had in Kirk Cousins. And one of the names you did mention, Case Keenum, I really think he's going to help turn that organization around. They won five games last year, and they struggled primarily because their quarterback situation was pretty horrible since Peyton left after 2015. So I feel like Case Keenum is going to fix a lot of things. Won't have to do it alone. And also they drafted, by the way, Nick Chubb to pair up opposite Von Miller, which should do all sorts of damage on that defense.
Yeah, you know, the weird thing about Kirk Cousins' situation, just to touch on him for a second, is that Keenum led them to a 13-win season last year. I feel like that could be a better team, but with a worse record, just because it's hard to replicate what they did last year. How do you think Cousins is going to do in Minnesota, and how do you think Minnesota is going to do?
Well, I mean, the great news for Kirk Cousins is that defense is fantastic.
Yeah.
Adam Thielen's fantastic. They're getting Dalvin Cook back from the ACL injury. Stephon Diggs clearly is a big part of what they do based on solely on that one play against the Saints. So there are a lot of reasons to love the Vikings. And I think they have to be the favorites right now in that division, even though they have, you know, quote-unquote, a new quarterback. I think the good news for Kirk Cousins is he's not going to have to do it by himself. And at times you sort of felt like he had to in Washington, and that rarely seemed to work out, at least in the last season. So I think he's in a fantastic situation, but I think you're exactly right. Is he such an upgrade over Case Keenum that you let Case Keenum walk and then sign Cousins to that guaranteed deal that was close to $30 million, maybe even $30 million a year? So we'll find out. But I feel like they're the favorites going into the season in that division. Aaron Rodgers coming back, obviously, off the shoulder injury. I think the Bears are going to be a fun team to watch. The Lions, we'll see what they can do with Matt Patricia as their new coach. But there's a lot of reasons that the Vikings should be favored. It's just a matter of whether Kirk Cousins can keep the car on the road, so to speak.
Yeah, that's a fun division, no question about that. Ryan Wilson, CBSSports.com, joining me on CBS Sports Radio. You mentioned quarterback contracts, and now is about the time, usually it's 3 years in, is about the time where teams start to talk to their rookie or their quarterbacks who are on their rookie contracts about extending long-term. That's what happened with Derek Carr a couple years ago, you know, Andrew Luck guys. These guys who have been rookies under this sort of new system from back in 2011. So the two guys this year, obviously, are Marcus Mariota of Tennessee and Jameis Winston in Tampa Bay. I think they're both going to get like big long-term deals, but I don't know that like it just statistically either one's done enough to deserve having contracts that are in that strata. I don't know. I guess if you're a fan of either of those teams, what's your concern level about being married to both of these guys long-term, $25 million type style?
I feel like it's probably less concern if you're a Tampa Bay fan than you are if a Tennessee fan. I feel like Marcus Mariota struggled a little bit last year. He was battling injuries, and typically when we find out guys have taken sort of a dip, there's some injury we really didn't know about. But he was a hamstring injury, maybe even a calf injury. So that sort of hampered him a little bit. But I still actually like both players a lot. And I feel like what a lot of these teams do in terms of their sort of cost-benefit analysis is, well, what's plan B? And if you don't have a plan B, then you have to stick with plan A. And I actually would feel quite comfortable paying either one of those guys that type of money. But it's funny you mention this, because one of the names I want to watch a year from now is Dak Prescott. And I only mention that because we've looked at the Rams and the Eagles, and they've done a fantastic job of building teams around quarterbacks on their rookie deals. They got lucky getting the right quarterback, but you're only paying them whatever of the rookie deal, so it's a lot less than $25 to $30 million a year. The Cowboys have Dak Prescott on their rookie contract. He was not great last year. The Cowboys are even worse. They don't have anyone around them. They have no receivers to speak of. So I want to see how they're going to figure the rest of that roster out anywhere close to what the Rams and the Eagles have done and the success they've had now that they're 3 years into this Dak Prescott thing, because Stephen Jones said they're going to have to pay him in probably a year or so from now. So if they're no further along in developing the rest of that roster and they have to pay Dak Prescott, they could be in much worse shape, not only than the Eagles and the Rams, obviously, but even the two other teams we're talking about, the Buccaneers and the Titans.
Yeah, and Goff and Wentz are both going to have fifth-year options because they're first-round picks,
right.
And Prescott was a fourth-round pick.
Absolutely.
So like Carr being a second-round pick, they got to figure it out, yeah, with a year left on the deal. That's Ryan Wilson. He covers the NFL for CBSSports.com, does a great job covering the NFL. Hey, Ryan, I really appreciate you making a few minutes on a Sunday night, man. Hope to do it again with you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sean.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.